Thank you, Pastor Kay. So I'm just trying to cool down a little bit because it's pretty warm already. So Happy New Year, everyone. Yeah. 2022 has begun. It's our first service for the year. Usually the year begins with a bit of a hiss and a roar, doesn't it? We have the fireworks and parties and, you know, lots of celebrating to welcome the new year in, but it didn't really happen this year. It was a bit of a fizzler. But, usually I'm up till, like 1 o'clock in the morning, so we go to the Marine Parade and see the fireworks and enjoy the music and catching up with friends and everything, and it takes me 2 or 3 days to recuperate after being up late these days, but it's always worth it. There weren't any parties around my place this year. So, you know, I know. It's like, it was really quiet. Hey, I'm not sure what this year is going to bring for us as a church, for this city, for this country, for me personally. Not sure yet, but I'm looking forward to the journey with God. And, so as Pastor Kay said, we have a really interesting theme this month. And I just pray that God will really speak to your heart with the different preachers that we're going to have through this month. So today we're going to look at a couple of scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. So this chapter starts with Jesus speaking about giving to the needy and the right and wrong kind of giving. And he teaches about prayer and the right and wrong kind of prayer. And he goes on to teach about forgiveness and fasting. And then we come to verse 19. Where Jesus gives us the lesson on money. Now, talking about money is a very personal subject. It causes strife in marriages and relationships. Money has ended friendships where maybe there's been some giving and maybe not some paying back. Money problems money causes problems on a global market, let alone personally as well. But the fact is we can't get by without money. We need to eat, we need to pay our bills. But our attitude to money is what's important. And it's very interesting and very telling about our attitude to money. Now, this is a little bit old, but I read about a survey in 1992 where people were asked how much money they thought they needed to make to have the American dream. Those who were earning $25,000 or less at the time, they said they would need around about $54,000. Those who were earning about $100,000 at the time thought that they could probably buy the dream for about $192,000. So these figures show that it doesn't matter what we're earning, we all think we have to double our income to have a good life. Very interesting. And let's be honest this morning, who hasn't daydreamed about winning lotto? I have. I've had conversations with God. They've gone something like this. You know, I don't want to be greedy, God. Like $1 million would be fine. You know, I could divide it between my 3 sons and me. I could give a big tithe to the church. I could pay off the mortgage. Like, what would be so wrong with that, God? You know, I've had those conversations. And he's probably been sitting there shaking his head at me. It's not the answer. But here in Matthew 6, Jesus wants us to examine our attitude towards money and to realize we have a choice between two types of treasures mentioned in verses 19 to 21. Treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. And it really doesn't matter how much we earn. There are lessons here for each one of us. So let's just read that together. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin, it says vermin where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the title of my message is Location, Location, Location. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the ancient Greek I was reading, it literally says, do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. The idea is that earthly treasure is temporary and fades away, but heavenly treasure is secure. So what does heavenly treasure look like? I don't have all the answers here today, but this is just some of the ones that I've thought about. So storing up treasures in heaven is not just limited to tithing, but I believe that tithing and giving to the church we're committed to is a really, really important thing, and it is a good place to start. Our churches need our financial support to function. Everyday life, we need money. We need to pay the power, we need to pay the rates, and we like to pay the pastor's wages. Yes, God provides, but I also believe we have a responsibility as well to do our part. And then God does what he can do. I believe we're all called to be faithful givers with our finances, but also with our time, with our talents, and with our abilities. So giving our time might look something like this. We might be serving in the kitchen on a Sunday, or coming to a cleaning bee, or helping out with security during a Sunday service, or talking to people about Jesus and what he's done in our lives. And giving with our talents and abilities might look something like this, helping with maintenance in the church or being part of the worship team if you can sing or play an instrument, or talking with people about God and building relations with people, praying for our church, praying for our leadership. Those are all things that we can do. Each of us has a responsibility to ask God what he wants us to do and then where to go and do it. I just thought I'd throw this little extra thing in here. You know how we hear a lot about mandates at the moment? I work at the hospital, so it's been mandated. I have to be vaccinated, and that's fine. But I believe as Christians, we actually have a couple of mandates as well. And a mandate is an official order or a commission to do something. So this is what I believe our two mandates are: to love God and love people, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter what our financial situation is, what our social situation is, what our talents or abilities are, I believe we all have these mandates from God. Can't go too far wrong doing those. But God has not given us gifts and abilities and talents to store them up for ourselves. He's given us these gifts so we can bless others. So I'm reminded of the parable in Luke 12, which we'll turn to. Wow, if I could just get the ads off my phone, that'll be good. So Luke chapter 12, and it's 16 to 21. And Jesus had been speaking to a group of people here, and there was a rich young person that came to talk to him about his brother and him, you know, having to sort out some financial things. But this is the parable that Jesus told that day. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain for many years. Take life easy. Eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your very life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. This rich man thought it was all for him. He said, my crops, my barns, my goods, everything was about him, and nothing was about God. Jesus showed that at the end, nothing was his. He didn't have any crops, any barns, any goods, and even his own soul was subject to God. The man's problem was not that he had treasure on earth, but that he was not rich towards God. Now, it's good to be wise with our money and our resources, and it's good to plan and save and have a budget. I thought my New Year's resolution this year would be to relook at my budget and try and stick to it a lot better this year. And then I had to buy a new radiator for my car, and it's like, okay, next payday we'll start on the budget. But Jesus wants us to learn a lesson from the parable of the rich man. Living the good life has nothing to do with being wealthy. It's about acknowledging that everything that we have is from God, and then asking him what he wants us to do with it all. Our society obviously tells us the opposite. It's really a battle when we're constantly bombarded with advertising on all forms of media. It tells us we'll only be happy if we have this flash car, if we buy this new washing machine, if we get our mother the lazy boy for Mother's Day, if we're going to be much more comfortable and so much more happier if we buy their products that they're advertising. It's even targeted at children these days. But do these things really make us happier? The thing is that we can't take our money and our possessions with us when we die. It's just a fact of life. The pharaohs in ancient Egypt thought that they could. They were buried with all this gold and treasure, but they left it all behind. And when you see a hearse going to a cemetery, you don't see a moving van with their possessions going in behind after it. It doesn't matter how much money we have or don't have, we all face these same battles. But our attitude towards money makes the difference. Jesus challenges us to think beyond our earthly goals and needs and to have a kingdom focus. So when it comes to our finances and resources, that's what we need to have, a kingdom focus. Sometimes we may be asked to give sacrificially to a certain need. Sometimes he asks us to trust him for every little thing, and that's sometimes a season of our life that we're going through. When I finished working a really good job in the bank, and I thought I had a plan of what I was going to be doing, and I trained to be a chaplain, and I was a funeral celebrant, and I had this plan, did not happen. God had other ideas, and he took me on a journey. And I ended up finding cleaning jobs to help me get by, and I'd have about 8 or 10 cleaning jobs a week that I did to manage, like paying my mortgage and everything. And I thought, this is not what I left the bank for, Lord. But he taught me so much in that time, and I had to trust him for every dollar and every week, trust him that he had a plan, even if I didn't have one. But I knew without a doubt I was meant to leave the bank. And that was what I kept coming back to. I said, right, this is what God's told me. I know, I believe this. And eventually, he's brought me on this path where I am now. But I had to learn some lessons along that way about really trusting him. And it was a good lesson to learn. We can really take our possessions and our finances, our families, even our faith for granted sometimes. So it's good not to do that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus drew the conclusion that you can only have your treasure and your heart in one place. Now the word heart, we're not talking about the beating heart that we have in our body. It's used figuratively. And the heart is like the inner part of us. It's the inner seat of our motivation. Now, biblical writers refer to the heart quite a bit. And it's relating to our belief and our behaviour, our conscience, our moral character, our courage and our will, understanding, passions, intention and desire. We are held accountable for the intent and thoughts and desires of our heart. We can probably already think of some scriptures that we've read that warn us about looking after our hearts. So Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Or another translation says, "From it flows the springs of life." I really like that. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As water reflects the face, so a man's heart reflects the man." And the Ten Commandments, we're encouraged to love the Lord our God with all our heart. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." These scriptures and so many more teach us that the state of our heart is extremely important. Our belief, our behaviour, our moral conscience all come from what is in our hearts. The decisions we make are determined by what is in our hearts. The words we speak flow out of what is in our hearts. And just one more scripture for you is Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." So if our hearts are in tune with God, then our decisions and our words and our actions will be in tune with what God wants for our lives. Our financial decisions will be in line with what God wants. Each of us needs to talk to God about this individually and make our own decisions. On a very practical note, I just want to say that there are many opportunities to support financially in the church. Now, we have Connect Community Trust, which is a separate trust from our everyday operation as a church. This looks after the drop-in and any of the social factors of our church life. Church has an outward focus towards missions as well, so we support 5 different missions organisations and people every month. And there's the day-to-day function of our church that we need support as well. So just on a very practical note, if you want to give to any of these parts of our church life, we do have paperwork and information on the back table in our auditorium here, just to let you know. Even while I was preparing this message, God was really speaking to me about this as well. And so he's asked me to make a bit more of a regular support of CCT, or Connect Community Trust, in a practical way. So he's, when you hear from God, you have to do these things. So he's told me to start making a payment to CCT. So this message is for me as well today, as everybody. So I'm putting some treasure where my heart is too. So laying up treasures on heaven can give enjoyment now in the pleasure and the privilege that comes from being a giver. We can start today to store up treasures in heaven and to fulfill God's purposes in all that we do, which includes what we do with our money. Our material treasures will not pass from this life to the next, but the good that's been done for the kingdom through the use of our treasures, that lasts for all eternity. And the work that God does in us through faithful giving in all areas of our lives lasts for all eternity. My hope and prayer today is that this message will give us all something to think about and have a conversation with God about. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where do you want me to give? How can I give to you, Lord, and to what you are doing in this church and in this city? May God continue to bless each one of us as we start to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you are right here in our midst. You are here in this service. You are here with your people. Lord, I thank you so much that you love every person in this building and that is part of this church. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together and we have the privilege of coming together, worshipping you and looking at your word and hearing from you today. And I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to each one of us today. I believe this word is from you and for us. And Father, I thank you that you care about every detail in our lives. You care about what we wear, what we eat, what we're going to do, what we have, what we don't have. So Lord, I thank you that we can bring all these things to you today as well. No matter what our situation, Lord, no matter where we come from, where we're going, Lord, we know that you're right here with us and you care about every detail in our lives. Father, may we continue to have a kingdom focus from this church. As we look outside these walls, as we go out into the community and out into our city, may we continue to have that kingdom focus. Lord, may you continue to speak to our church. May you continue to provide. May you continue to guide. May you continue to pour your love and your peace and your comfort and your provision into this church, Lord, and into this community and into this city. Father, we know that you can do everything and you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. But Lord, we know also that we are called to do our part as well in this great story. So Father, I pray that we will take up that challenge today, that we will look at what we have, what is in our hands, whatever it is, Lord, may we offer it back to you. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I pray as today as we have this food together after the service is finished, Lord, bless our fellowship together, bless our time together. Thank you, Lord, we can come together as a family. And we thank you for this day that you have made. In Jesus' name, amen.